T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Diane, I saw you tweet that you were you flew back to New Jersey and Newark Airport, just the worst airport on the face of the earth, by the way. But you had Odell Beckham Jr. on your plane. And you said he was very quiet there, and he seemed a little quiet for the whole press conference, even though he had some good things to say. What did you think about him as a whole yesterday?
Oh, I got tons of thoughts. It's funny. I started my day in Cleveland when I got to the facility, and he was the first person I saw. He just happened to be in the lobby. And then, of course, I ended my day back in the New Jersey area and, you know, obviously seeing Odell on my flight, which I think the most common question people keep asking me is, like, wow, you sit in first class? I was like, no, I don't sit in first class. He sat in first class. But it was actually pretty interesting. He was sitting in first class, and right before the shut the doors, he got up and went all the way to the back row right by the bathrooms and just laid out and was resting and sleeping. And when we landed, I caught up with him a little bit and said, you all right? You're not feeling well? He's like, I'm just exhausted. And he said, I don't think anybody realizes how difficult today was for me because, you know, my friend who died is obviously front of mind right now. And he shared that, you know, during the press conference, he almost started crying while he was talking about himself because he's like, I didn't even feel like I was talking about myself at that moment because I just kept thinking about my friend. And it was just a difficult day for him. So knowing that and applying it to the rest of the day, it definitely changes a little bit of my observations. But look, this may be harsh, but this is the truth. When you get traded, you're essentially getting fired. And nobody likes that feeling, no matter how great you are, no matter how much confidence you have. And I think after 22 days and 21 yesterday of him having to wrap his mind around it and get his emotions around this idea that, you know, he is no longer a New York Giant. He's no longer playing under the big lights of the city. And he's now playing in a smaller market for a team that obviously wants him, but a team that he thought loved him does not want to be with him anymore. And that feeling of rejection and also just this feeling of just surprise. I think it was very apparent, and I appreciated that he said that during the press conference. Like, this was a shock for me. I just don't know if the shock has really worn off yet, guys.
Yeah, and I wonder how much it has changed for him. Like you mentioned, like not feeling loved by the Giants anymore and having that. But now it comes to Cleveland, and in a short period of time, just by the responses on social media and how much support and love these fans have showed him already, I wonder if that has kind of made this transition maybe even a little easier.
Oh, for sure. Just being re-energized and getting the fans in Cleveland, who are some of the top fan bases in the country in any sport, but specifically Cleveland Browns fans are some diehard groups there. And listen, he probably doesn't even know how great they are yet. He doesn't. There's no way he can know. But he's about to get a taste of it. And I do think that that's probably what LeBron James shared with him about the city and about what, you know, he can expect. But, you know, it's interesting when I was putting together some of my pieces for SportsCenter last night and I was writing some stuff, my producer who's got years and years of experience, you know, kept changing the things I was saying and kept saying, you got to talk about what he does, what he's bringing to Cleveland, how he's changing this offense, how he's going to make Baker better. And I agree with all those sentiments he shared. But I kept saying, look, the story still is one of the top players in the NFL was traded when no one really ever thought it was going to happen. And look, that could be a little bit of a product because I live in the New York area. But the fact that it's a reality, the fact that it still hasn't really set in for him. But I do think those come training camp when he sees those fans and the number that show up to that, you know, I go to a lot of different training camps and I say Cleveland's probably one of the craziest in terms of people being there all day and night yelling for, autographs and pictures. And it's awesome.
You know, it's funny that you say that, Diana, because you're in New York. Because, like, here we were, Dustin and I were talking about Odell Beckham trade being realistic for weeks, and all my friends back in New York were like, "You guys are nuts! What the hell are you talking about? This was never going to happen." And I don't know, you know, it was the New York blinders were on. I don't know what it is, but like people in New York just had no clue that this was really going to happen. It was stunning to me that people thought it was impossible when it made complete sense. The Giants are a joke right now. Their organization is a disaster. To me, it made sense for them to move on to what is clearly a better franchise right now.
Here's why no one was buying in.
Yeah.
It was because they paid them, right? So
right.
This is the same management. It's not like Dave Gettleman came in now. He was part of that decision to
sure.
bring him back. And, you know, Odell did everything he needed to do to get that deal. He showed up to OTAs. He was at training camp. He played nice. He was a great sport about it, and he got what he wanted. So I think not only the fact that they, you know, extended his contract is the reason why New Yorkers didn't believe it would really happen, because let's just face it, if you're John Mayer, you're like, are you kidding me? Just burn my money, guys, with these bad decisions. But I can just tell you the people that you spoke to in New York were probably listening to all the sports talk radio stations and reading and watching, you know, all the New York sports, you know, shows, because
yeah.
most reporters covering the Giants were getting sourced info that it was being talked about, but it wasn't real because John Mara never wanted to really do it, and he had to sign off on it. And as you guys, I'm sure, have heard from, you know, he spoke about it at the owners' meeting, it still pains him
yeah.
that he let him go. So your friends are good sources of yours, was the point of all that.
No doubt. Diana Rossini of ESPN. Another thing, you know, you bring up the change in market. I'm a born and raised New Yorker. There'll always be a... You know, I lived in New York for my entire childhood and young adult life, and there'll always be a part of me that's a New Yorker. But, you know, I feel like when we talk about guys going to smaller markets in any sport, football, whatever, it's often looked at like it's a bad thing to go to the smaller market, and there are positives certainly to bigger markets. But there are a lot of positives to being in a market like Cleveland in a smaller market. You already talked about the fan base here, which has a very different attitude than in New York. But it's just life is easier in Cleveland than it is in the New York, New Jersey area. It's easier to get around. It costs less for everything. I know he's got a lot of money, but everybody wants to save a buck. So there are a lot of positives also. You're not sitting in crazy traffic like you are in New York. And even if you're rich, you're going to sit in traffic unless you're hiring a helicopter to get you from place to place. So there are some positives, certainly, in being in a smaller market, which I think he may grow to appreciate. Maybe. We'll see. I think it'll be interesting.
And it's going to change for him, and I think it is going to continually be a shock from where he lives to the restaurants and bar options. And by the way, this is not me putting Cleveland down. I think living in a smaller market like this could actually help a player. One of my favorite things when I come across covering the league is running into guys I used to cover in New York when I was a local reporter, or guys I used to cover in Washington, D.C., or now in smaller markets. And as soon as they see me, they you know, some of them will joke like, oh, no, trouble. And it wasn't reflective of me specifically, but a larger media market comes with a lot more drama. And I think you can get away with a little bit more because there's just not enough people covering you. Although I will say your press room is gigantic with people. And there's
We'll keep the pressure on people on this show, Diane. I can't speak for the rest of the media here, but I'll tell you that. We'll keep the pressure.
I come back on it all the time. You guys don't play around.
Diana, talk about the relationship between Jarvis and Odell, because, you know, hearing those guys talk, they love each other. And obviously they were in tears when they talked on the phone when it happened. It's like they said they kind of spoke it into existence. I feel like we spoke it into existence on this show more than them. But we'll let them have the credit for that. But it seems like their bond has been so special since they were even just little kids.
I feel like Jarvis was the one who was really speaking it into existence for him to come to Cleveland. And then Odell was like, yeah, that sounds good. And then it happened. I talked to Jarvis yesterday after the press conference in the hallway, just catching up with him quickly. And, you know, I said congratulations on everything. And he said, isn't this great? Can you believe he's really here? And I said, no. You posted on Instagram that you had a son last week, didn't you? And he said, yeah. I had a kid. You know?
And
I was like, how's that going? He's like, oh, it's great. I mean, I don't really know because I'm here and I'm going to be here all week, obviously, because she's taking care of the kid. And it was so funny to me that obviously, you know, it's front of mind right now. Of course, we're coming off the press conference, so of course he's thinking about it. But I do think he sees Odell as a family member. But I'm curious about how this will work. You know, some of my best friends in the media are at other networks, and it works really well for us because we don't compete with each other, because we can really be honest with each other and share and kind of complain to one another without it really affecting the other. And I think when you apply that to football and you're talking about two guys who like to be the stars, and look, they've done it before. We know that they've played together, but things are different now. There's a lot more pressure and a lot more eyeballs and a lot more to live up to in Cleveland now that they're together, especially considering how much they're selling they want to be. Do I think they're going to make it work? Yeah. But I'm always going to fall back on Freddie Kitchens, and I really liked what he had to say yesterday about the direction. He's obviously really trying to get across a message of team just by bringing up those four players together. Was trying to make it very clear that this is not about an individual. But I think it's going to come down to him. It's going to come down to Freddie Kitchens handling all the personalities. He said he wants to hold them all accountable. Let's see when it becomes a problem. You know, I spoke to a coach, a head coach in the NFC East, the night Odell got traded. And I said, can you believe it? And he said, yes. I said, why didn't anyone tip me off on this? He said, no. You don't understand, and I don't think people understand. When a player complains about not getting the ball, the effect it has on the locker room, forget the simple fact that it's annoying. It sends waves throughout and causes issues. So if you're going to have guys chirping and multiple mouths chirping about it, it can become an issue. So I think that is going to be Freddie Kitchens' biggest issue once he really gets in the mud with these guys. But I don't want to take away from what I do think is a genuinely loving friendship between Jarvis and Odell. And look, they've always had their back. Whenever I was in New York, Odell knew I went to Cleveland a lot. How's Jarvis doing? And vice versa on the other end. So they were always thinking about the other. And we'll see now that they're both in the same color uniform.
I think it's a fair concern, certainly. You know, the Browns have a lot of talent, clearly, Diana, but they haven't played together, right? So you got, I mean, these guys have played together in the past, but as a team, you got big personalities, the two of these guys. You're bringing Kareem Hunt into the mix. You've got Baker Mayfield, who's got a big personality. So, yeah, seeing how it works. But I do think because Baker, you know, Odell is clearly going to connect with Baker more than he did with Eli, who's a different generation player. They're more similar type guys. I think that makes sense. And I also thought maybe we're too close to it because I'm curious for your take. Like, listening to Baker talk even more yesterday than he did in his rookie year, he talks like he's been in the league 10 years.
Oh, it's tremendous. That was my takeaway as well. I actually, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time with Baker, but just from obviously watching him on television every day or at least during press conferences, and yesterday was really the first time I got to talk to him for longer than 10 minutes and not have, you know, PR people pushing me away or, you know, teammates rushing me off. So it was, I got to know him a little bit. And yeah, there's a maturity there. There's a confidence that we always talk about. But one thing about Odell that's very unique that I think people in Cleveland may not be ready for, you guys are now used to Baker, right? And he's showy and he dances and he's so confident. He talks trash and, you know, he's so fun to watch and be part of your organization. Odell's kind of shy. He can, even though he's out there making, you know, obviously we've seen all the antics, his personality can be, he can stay to himself a little bit at times and he'll be quiet. And, even yesterday, you know, when I was talking to him, about some stuff I had reported and I had known that he wasn't too happy about it. And I said, hey, just so you know, I hope we're good here, right? He's like, yeah, it's fine. I don't pay attention to this stuff as much as I think people think I do. I don't have the time for it. You know, and he just has this way about him that is not as much in your as I think people want to believe. And I think you guys are going to learn that as you start seeing him talk and you start hearing him talk in the locker room. And when you start seeing the relationships he builds within the media, he's really respectful. I loved covering him in New York because he always gave you time. He was always very courteous. multiple times where there's tons of people around him. And if you get knocked over, he'll like stop and wait for you to stand up. And I know this probably sounds so stupid to the listener right now, but those are like little things that not every player does, because they don't really care about you. But the fact that he's always aware of the people around him. But in terms of Baker and his leadership ability mixing with Odell, I think it could be a match made in heaven.
Diana, last thing from me. Do you think that he's going to want a new contract anytime soon?
Yes.
How soon?
Yes. Because it's funny, when that question was asked yesterday, yeah. I'm sure you guys heard it, obviously. Yep. You know, I don't think we understood what he was doing. If you guys were just listening to the audio, he turned around to act like the reporter wasn't talking to him directly, like a little kid would do, like, talking to me. Which tells me everything you need to know. He 100% wants to redo this contract, because, listen, this is a business where these guys all want to be the highest paid guy. And when the other receivers, like Julio, who else is up next? Can't think off the top of my head.
AJ Green.
Once these guys start getting paid and Odell starts seeing that, you know, in 2 years when Adam Thielen gets a big contract, like, Odell's going to want in, and he's going to want to be the highest paid guy. So I do think that will be something that will probably wind up going down this season if I were to predict. But hopefully we'll get some reporting on that for you guys soon.
And you think the Browns are open to that?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're invested in this.
Yeah,
no
but
doubt.
Yeah,
you'd have to be making this trade. You'd have to know that he's going to want more guarantee. Because I don't think he has any guaranteed money after this year.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
And after Odell asks for his, I'm sure John Dorsey will be asking for his as well.
That's a good point.
That's right.
All right, Diana, great stuff. I'm sure we'll see you plenty here in the offseason and in training camp. So thanks for joining us as always.
I know. I can't wait to see you guys when it's nice and warm. So I'll see you soon.
No more snow. Thanks.
Yeah. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.